time for our weekly conversation surrounding FCS football with FCS Nation host Kevin Marshall. Kevin, five of the six Missouri Valley teams survived to the Sweet 16. Well, I suppose it's more of a basketball term, but we're in the second round of the FCS playoffs. 16 teams remain. What were your overall thoughts of that opening round and specifically how the majority of the Valley performed?
It was a very, very good opening round performance by everybody but the Youngstown State defense. And I'm still sitting here a week later, and I'm wondering, how in the world do you lose that football game if you're the Penguins? I have seen a lot of things in my 45 years of being able to remember 1AA or FCS football, but not only have I never seen anything exactly like that, man, I ain't never even heard of anything exactly like that before. And the Ivy League was questioned by a lot of people. How would they compete? How would they do? For decades. Well, now we know that their champion can be pretty darn competitive and perhaps win a game here and there in the FCS playoffs. But an at-large team is probably not something that is needed, wanted, or anybody wants to see again anytime soon. I mean, Villanova just came out and they beat the hell out of Harvard. And that was not something that people who know FCS football were surprised by. But evidently it did surprise the people that make the odds in Vegas, because believe it or not, Harvard was the favorite in that game over Villanova, and they lost 52-7, guys.
Yeah.
Now, the guys that make their living with sports gambling don't miss that big very often.
Yeah, absolutely, Kevin. I mean, that is just, that was a complete domination by Villanova. And quite honestly, if I would have been putting money down, I would have said Villanova would have been my pick in that matchup just based on level of competition, et cetera. But for it to be that lopsided and then to see Yale do what they did, I'm at a loss for words, because I wanted to see the Ivy League competitive in these playoffs just to show that they belong. But I was not expecting Yale to be the one to pull an upset and to do it in the manner they did against a Valley team, because the Valley then, in a sense, I know there were some people out there, Kevin, that were saying that no matter what conference you were in, you shouldn't have a five-loss team in the playoffs. I think UND showed that they belonged and got a dominating win over Tennessee Tech. But Youngstown State, I mean, with their quarterback and being at home, I don't really know what the problem was or why they were unable to stop Yale. So I guess the bigger question now is, this week, can Yale put up some points against Montana State?
Yeah, they'll put up some points. They'll give up a whole hell of a lot of them, too. I think that in the biggest games that Montana State's played this year against FCS competition, those have been the most rushing yards that Justin Lansom has put up for them. And against South Dakota State, against Montana. And so that'll be a part of the game plan for the Bobcats for sure. We've noticed that he's not Tommy Mellott, right, guys? We're kind of aware of that in the rushing game. But he is serviceable and can do some good things with the ball in his hands running the football. But passing the ball, the Bobcats are going to do some things and present some challenges to Yale, the same ones that Brungard and Youngstown State did. But this is not a good matchup for Yale. But, I mean, if you're not one of the top three or four teams in FCS football, none of these matchups are going to be great for you going forward, because the teams are pretty good. I mean, South Dakota State just dominated New Hampshire in the snow there in Brookings. Mm-hmm. That wasn't really a football game for longer than about 10, 12 minutes. And when you look at what Illinois State did to Southeastern Louisiana, I just got the feeling that the Lions thought, well, we can just throw bubble and slip screens, and we can use our athleticism and overwhelm these big, slow, corn-fed boys from Illinois. And that wasn't the case. Illinois State played good defense, ran the football. Rittenhouse was good. And, you know, they overwhelmed the Lions. I think the only people that were happiest about what happened in that Harvard-Villanova game and that Yale-Youngstown game are people that were advocating for three Southland Conference teams to make the playoffs because it wasn't a very good performance by the Southland. They went 0-2.
When we look at some of the matchups coming up this weekend, obviously I have a lot of confidence in the Valley teams that are on the road to be competitive. I'm not quite sure how things will go with NDSU and Illinois State because that one got away from the Redbirds in the late third into the fourth quarter. And anytime there's a second matchup with an NDSU team, it's usually not good for the opponent. But to me, it seems like I'm most cautious based on something you said last week about Rhode Island, maybe not necessarily being overrated or anything, but they're going to go on the road all the way over to California to take on UC Davis. Is that game maybe the one that you put an asterisk next to saying that this might be a non-competitive game?
I don't think so. I think that the Rhode Island quarterback is good enough to do some things to keep them in it. And we've seen Caden Pinnick kind of play like a freshman some here as the season has wound down. He's making some throws you ought not to make, doing some things that you just ought not to do if you're going to play high-level FCS football. I think that could have a lot of points. Mm-hmm. And could it get out of hand maybe with 7 or 8 minutes to go? Maybe. But I think that'll be a pretty good ball game. I am very intrigued by two of these ball games involving Valley teams. South Dakota State at Montana will be interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knew that all you needed to do was get Chase Mason back and you're playing like the fourth-ranked team in the country again?
Absolutely.
I don't think I've ever seen one guy on any team in FCS football affect the outcome of not only the unit that he plays on, but on the opposite one as well. There's no doubt the Jackrabbits are a different team with Chase Mason at the helm. And also, Jace, your South Dakota Coyotes going to Macon, Georgia to take on the 6th-seed Mercer Bears. Mercer is a good football team. We've talked about them a lot when I've been on with y'all in our weekly visits, and people who have listened to the show on WDAOI Radio have heard me talk about Mercer. It's a very good football team. They had a hiccup earlier in the year and lost to a PC team, made a quarterback change, and they have just done nothing but win since then, except for when they played their SEC opponent. They're going to present some unique challenges to South Dakota. Their Mercer is so multiple on offense. Yes, they have a guy, a drop-back passer guy in Atkinson who can really sling it, won the Freshman of the Year award, and probably should have been a finalist for the Offensive Player of the Year award, too. If you look at his numbers in comparison with the three finalists of that award, it's kind of a cop-out, I think, by the one man who nominates the people to be a part of the list, and then the voters who pick the finalists. They just looked at that and said, well, Atkinson is a freshman. We can just give him the Freshman of the Year award and not have to look at him for the Offensive Player of the Year award. His numbers were very comparable to the guys who were the three finalists for that award. But the defense has been solid for Mercer, too, at times. Andrew Zock is a fine player for them. You're going to have to account for him if you're South Dakota. You have to double-team that guy, and that's going to open up things for the rest of that Mercer defense. It's going to be a very interesting game. We know that USD does have Aiden Bauman, a very veteran quarterback who is not going to make a lot of mistakes. I have that one circled as being a game to watch as well.
I just want to jump in quick on it because I want Kevin to kind of put a bow on that ball game, Mercer and South Dakota. There's, you know, the four Dakota schools in there. This is a game that can be incredibly intriguing. Every year, you always seem to, at the end of the year, talk about how SoCon's going to SoCon. Is this year's Mercer team a little bit different than those teams you normally say that about? South Dakota playing their best football, is there a chance for them to advance past? How do you, where's the defining factor in that ball game, if that makes sense?
It's going to be whether Mercer can stop the run. Mm. And if they can, it could be a long day for South Dakota. The SoCon is a league where I'm pretty sure that four or five teams are aware of the forward pass. They just don't like doing it a whole bunch. It is a physical league. It is a team where running the football is something everybody does very, very well. And so that group up front for the Yotes on the offensive line is going to be the key to that football game. If they can sustain drives, not make Aiden Bauman have to drop back and throw it 40 times for them to hang around in the ball game, it'll be very interesting for the Yotes. And when I talk about the SoCon going to SoCon, that's normally about the fact that anybody can beat anybody in that league. And there are leagues like that elsewhere in FCS football. The Valley had some moments like that this year, that's for sure. But it doesn't matter whether you're in first place in that league or whether you're in ninth place. It's going to be a ball game every Saturday, every week. And that's why those of us that are who grew up around the SoCon is one of the reasons why we like it so much. But I'll tell you this, for a league that pounded the table with their fists preseason, we're being disrespected by national playoff committee and by pollsters and pundits around the country. The SoCon did themselves no favors at a conference this year by not winning football games, hence the one team in it. Sixth seed is pretty good for Mercer, but they're sort of carrying the banner for a whole region of the country there in FCS football, and I'm real interested to see what Mike Jacobs and his Mercer Bears team is going to be able to do.
Interesting. I mean, I think both those South Dakota matchups, South Dakota, South Dakota State, will be very interesting going forward. When you look at North Dakota, I thought they really went out and proved last week that they deserve to be in the playoffs. They've got, you know, basically their five losses this year have been a combined, I think James told me the other day, 17 points. They head down to Tarleton State, who their only blemish is against Abilene Christian, which they advance to take on Stephen F. Austin. The game's down in Texas. North Dakota, not afraid to play anywhere this year. I mean, they're just maybe a few plays here and there away from, you know, potentially being undefeated. When you look at this matchup, Kevin, how do you see this one going with North Dakota and the Fighting Hawks taking on Tarleton State?
Tarleton State runs a unique offense that everybody else runs. They just do it a different way. And for people who haven't seen Tarleton play, Victor Gavalis holds on to that mesh with the running back for an awful long time. They, on the RPOs, he puts it in the guy's breadbasket and holds it there for a beat and then another beat. And then he decides what he's going to do. It looks very odd, but it's effective. And you were talking about what North Dakota did last week. I'm still of the mind that Tennessee Tech shouldn't have had to have played last week, that they got completely and totally disrespected by the committee. And did they play a good ball game? Nope. But turned it over six times and still were in that ball game for a long, 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 long time. Is Kaminsky going to play for the Fighting Hawks? He's in concussion protocol after a play last week. I'm not afraid to say it. That was amongst the dirtiest I have seen in college football in a long time, and it drew no flag. Kaminsky was down. The Tennessee Tech defender just drilled him right in his face, and he went out of the game and never returned. Well, the backup came in and did not lose the game for them and did some very good things. If Kaminsky can play, North Dakota has a very good shot to go on the road against Tarleton State. If they're playing with the backup and having to rely on the running game and doing some things that they're not normally accustomed to doing there, it could be a long day for the Fighting Hawks. I'm interested in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Tarleton State has sort of worn the mantle of being a little bit overrated for a lot of the year, and losing to Abilene Christian certainly didn't help that narrative in their favor at all. So it's going to be very interesting to see. I think the first 20 minutes of that ball game are going to be very, very key for North Dakota. Got to hang around. Got to prove that you can cover those Tarleton State wide receivers who were good and be strong in the running game.
Awesome. Kevin, closing today, what do we have on the docket here Saturday morning on FCS Nation here on WDAY Radio?
Well, we're going to have Tom Barton, who's going to tell us all about the perception of the Ivies in the playoffs. He's done a real good job for us this year covering the Ivy League, and there's nobody better to do that than Tom Barton. We'll have Chase Mason on this week, the South Dakota State quarterback. He's our honorary captain of the week with Owls' Lemonade Stand. We'll break down all the games, and then we'll pick them. And, you know, if you would have listened last week and you would have wagered some coin and picked Villanova money line, picked Illinois State money line, and then just chosen one of the games where somebody was favored, you would have put yourself together a nice parlay. And I'm glad to say that, you know, the property tax money is going to be a little bit less hurtful this year because of a little parlay that took place in the first round of the national FCS playoffs, guys.
Oh, that's good to hear. Kev, thanks for a couple minutes of your time. Looking forward to another great week of college football. I'll talk to you again next week.
It's always a real pleasure to be on with you two. Take care of yourselves. And, Jace, I hope you're happy when the ball game is over with on Saturday, but not too happy because, you know, I like you, but I'm SoCon through and through. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Thanks, Kevin.